All right, back here at Scottsdale. Nice to have you back here. And I think we're, Beer Kim, we're on Periscope as well as we welcome in the general manager of the San Francisco Giants. And he's got a nice smile on his face as well. And that is Bobby Evans. How are you?
Great.
Whoop, let me turn you up here with, for a rookie mistake as we get going.
That's all right.
There you go. Spring training is underway. This is our preview show. And I always say this. If a team can come in and you could say that team could win 90 games, you've done a great job over the winter. And I look at these guys, you can win 90 games. Are you happy with what happened over the winter?
Well, there's a lot of talent out there anyway, and what we did in the winter just hopefully enables the guys to get the most out of their ability and strengthen our rotation and deepen our lineup. And we've already got a very talented group of guys, so I think that certainly feel good about what we have.
Yeah, you know, in spring you like to see injured players come back. You love to see kids because you never know what's going to happen. Then you like to see guys who are on the cusp, ready to get in there. And you've got a lot of it. And I want to talk to you about the pitching that we're going to see. We know what Cueto can do. We know what Samardzija can do. We know what Peavy can do. These are veterans, and Bumgarner, they're down here in spring training. But what about some of the kids who are just under that level? I can't wait to see some of them on the hill. Who would they be?
Well, there's a good number of guys that, you know, we added a number of guys, of course, to the roster. We had eight, I think it was eight total. I want to say at least three of them are relievers and four plus of them are starters, and one we'll still figure out. But, you know, we're excited about all these guys to get them a chance. And I thought Blackburn looked particularly good today in a live BP session, you know, mixing up his four pitches and had a tremendous second half of last year at AAA and really showed how close he is to helping us. Again, you know, these starters are not overpowering stuff. I mean, they're pitchers that pitch to locate and use their weapons to mix up the hitter. And who's going to be ready first to impact our rotation? You know, we'll see. Blackburn right now looks like he's probably the closest, with Heston being the next guy, if there was a spot open, but hopefully he'll start this year as an arm out of the pen, and all these other guys will start at AAA. I mean, each one of them, Ty Block, Chris Stratton, and Alberto Mejia, I mean, they're all guys that are trying to find a way to, you know, make an impression. I think the nice thing about this spring is they'll get a chance to pitch.
Yeah.
That Rags and Guardian Boach can really utilize them in many different ways. They don't have to you know, give them an inning or two. They can actually let them throw and give them a chance to perform. At some point, of course, they'll have to go back and get ready for their season and get stretched out if they're going to be a starter. But there's plenty of time for that. From a bullpen perspective, people are really talking about Ray Black. I mean, he threw over at Indian School again today, but just a power arm and a lot to look forward to. A guy that you'd probably normally see at AA to start the year. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for a guy that has that kind of power.
Huh. Come on, 103? You're talking about, they used to have Bob Feller, and they used to throw the ball, and they used to match him up against a motorcycle or something to see how fast he was throwing. So they didn't have the radar guns, you know, completely at that time. But it's funny because Derek Law, who I think a lot of, and I know he's on his way back and throws hard, he came in the other day and he was telling me that he was happy. He threw 95, 96, and Black says, well, I threw 101 today. You know, it's that kind of stuff. But there's that end of the clubhouse, and I mentioned it to the guys who were on earlier, where you got Law and Black and Strickland and Beatty and Osich, and then the other end you got Johnson and Coonrod. You got guys who throw, did I say Strickland? I hope I said Strickland.
Sure.
I mean, you've got guys who bring it now. I mean, really, you've got some, and I want to talk about Derek Law. Let's start with him.
Well, again, he's a very deceptive delivery that it's fun to watch.
Isn't it?
And he came very close to making the club a couple of years ago and then ended up midway through the season having to go through Tommy John and didn't get as good a look, of course, at the end of last year or the year before. And so for him now to be at full strength, I mean, it's a great feeling.
Yeah.
And we're excited to see him feeling good. And that deception is a big part of it. It's not always velocity, although, of course, throwing 95 is a lot of velocity. But some of it is just deception, and he has it.
It's funny. When I interviewed him, I forgot about his deception. He's a twist guy. And Cueto is a twist guy. And he says he wants to talk to Cueto and find out how he does it. And he wants to pick his brain a little bit. But for Derek Law, the arm was there. And, you know, if you had a closer in waiting, he was kind of the next guy up. So I'm anxious to see what he can do.
Yeah, and there's no hurry. I mean, he got, I can't remember how much of last season he ended up being able to pitch, but he put himself back on the map.
Yeah.
And this is a chance to probably start the year at AAA and see where it takes him.
Yeah, very good. Talking about some of the Tyler Beede is another one. Put on 25 pounds, you know, and of muscle. And you just watch his bullpens. I see a major league pitcher there.
Yeah, he finished the year a little tired, a little worn down. Got the full winter off. No instructional league, no fall league. Just was able to go home and do his program. And I give him credit. He obviously worked hard, and we get to see the benefits of that already this spring. And he's second half of last year was at AA. Probably this year starts here at AA, but you know, we let all those decisions be made later, but yeah. Preliminarily you make him pitch his way out of there.
Anxious to see Kyle Crick on the hill in some of these games?
Well, he threw today, and I saw him throw the other day, and you know, the big thing for him is just commanding his off-speed stuff, keeping the ball in the zone. Whether he's a starter or reliever, that remains to be seen. When he figures it out, he could very well go into a rotation. Otherwise, when he's still struggling with command a little bit, you'll put him out of the bullpen. Looks much better, though. Much more comfortable. This is an intimidating place to pitch, and to be able to go on the mound in the stadium for live BP against major league guys, obviously he's really, you know, coming together and showing some composure.
Bobby Evans with us, and we're on Periscope. You're being streamed live all over the world today. Everyone is seeing you today everywhere. So you're even a bigger star today. All right. Kyle Crick was very funny with Willie Mays. So he comes up to Mays, and of course Willie says, "How would you pitch me?" And Crick says, "Well, I'd go inside and this, then I'd go away." And Willie says, "I'm taking it over the right field wall. You know, you better trick me with something." And it's lovely to see. It's great to see Willie Mays talk to these guys in the clubhouse, especially the pitchers, because he always asks these guys, "How would you pitch me?" And, you know, they got to come up with, no one ever says changeup. No one ever says, you know, "We're going to get you off balance." Everyone says, "We're going to pitch you away." And he says, "Pitch me away. I'm putting it over the right field wall." Isn't that funny? How pitchers, deception is the key.
Well, what a privilege for these guys to be able to spend time with Willie Mays.
Isn't it?
And we're very fortunate, of course, all of us that get to see him every day. But to have a player be able to talk to him that, you know, whether it's a pitcher, we've seen obviously position players sit down with him. And he's so approachable and so warm to these guys and really cares about their success and follows them, you know, throughout the year. And he'll know very much what they've done the day before and how they've looked. And he's got an opinion, and he's, you know, he's very kind to express it, and I think these guys appreciate his availability.
It's fun. It's been a lot of fun watching the pitchers come up to
him.
Sure. He always says, "How are you going to pitch me?" And the answer is invariably, "I'm taking you over the right field wall." That's the way it always ends. But he's had a lot of fun with Span and getting him acclimated, you know, to the clubhouse. Span doesn't know a lot of people, and he's here, and getting him ready. It's his birthday today, Span. He's 32, and with Pagan, Willie does that little thing with the two of them, making them teammates.
Well, I think that those are both pros anyway, but it's fun to see Willie involved and participating in the clubhouse dynamics. And no one knows center field better than Willie Mays, so what a privilege to spend time with him.
How'd you like Pagan and his approach, his attitude, and the answers he gave about moving from center to left?
It just reminds us of how special this clubhouse is and how special these guys are, because, you know, guys are willing to do whatever it takes to make the team better, and I give all these guys credit. Sometimes put aside their preferences or put aside their, you know their ideals, and there's a lot to be said for that. And I think that the club feeds off of that kind of leadership. That takes a leader to be willing to make an adjustment.
Yeah, someone tweeted into me about, was it Lucien Fox? Is that his
Lucius
name?
Fox?
Lucius,
yeah.
Fox, and they love him, the youngster you signed for a lot of money. Where does he fit into everything this year?
Well, he'll get his first minor league at bats this season. He was a kid that we saw as a freshman, sophomore, and junior in high school in Florida, and then for his senior year, he went back to the Bahamas. Really didn't get a chance to play a lot of baseball, so when we brought him in for instructional league, he had been doing showcases but hadn't played in quite some time, so we had to get his shoulder back up to par and get his swing going. So he'll come into spring training just trying to make one of these A-ball clubs. Most likely, you'd think Augusta, but really it depends on health and performance, but that's where you'd probably see him starting the year.
Excited about him? It sounds like a great background.
One of our top prospects. I mean, we're very excited about him, and he's a great athlete, and there's a lot to look forward to with him in terms of, you know, all the tools, and I think it's a player that all of us are anxious to see a lot more of.
Bobby Evans with us. Thinking about some of the players that you have in camp, there's so many infielders and non-roster guys and combinations that could happen by the end of it. Give me a couple to kind of watch as we go along. Kyle Blanks, a major leaguer, he's got a lot of experience. Pena is here. Grant Green is here. Tell us about some of the guys who may be in that last mix for a spot.
Well, as we went into the free agent market, the minor league six-year free agent market, non-roster market, the one place that players could see possibilities were to try out and be a utility guy here. And they see Adrianza, they see Tomlinson, but yet they see the window where they could come in and perform. And I think Grant Green has had a lot of opportunities that have not resulted in getting the big league shot that he'd expect. And so he was very careful about where he chose to go. And so we tried to describe our situation as best we could. And same goes for all these guys. I mean, Ramiro Pena had a great winter ball. We signed him early, but he's had a great winter ball. He'll get into the conversation in terms of what that 25th man looks like. Is that 25th man a third utility guy, or is it a fifth outfielder or a third catcher or 13th pitcher? All those are up for grabs and open for discussion. But I think that the cool thing about all these guys is they can play in the middle of the field, but they also can move around, which gives Ron Wotus and Boach a lot of flexibility to try to get a look of what they can do in different roles and different positions. And you know, they'll get their at-bats. I mean, those guys, they struggle sometimes to get 30 or 40 at-bats in spring training. So you may end up with 20, 25 at-bats if you're lucky. And so they don't have a lot of opportunity to prove themselves. But otherwise, they can go to AAA and earn the opportunity when the door opens.
Yeah, well, that's the story of life. Get ready. When your chance comes, they'll miss your pitch.
That's
and
right.
That's the deal. Looking a little bit at Matt Cain, and I know he had the cyst removal this week, and he's back and now still rehabbing, you know, that part of his arm. Are you confident he'll start the season as a starting pitcher?
Well, right now we don't have any reason to believe that he won't. I mean, I think that, you know, the nature of the cyst was so surfacey, just below the skin. You know, they didn't have to dig deep into his arm to get it out, and that's a good thing. You know, you might be understating it to say it's a contusion, because obviously they went in and had to cut him open to get it, a 1-inch incision in his arm. But yet, feel very good about his chances of coming back quickly and getting back on the mound and getting back into his routine. And it's probably never an ideal thing to have to have it happen in spring training, but have it happen early. Yeah. Certainly gives us some advantages. Really can't say how it'll play out. I mean, ultimately, we all are hoping that he can be ready to start the season, but hard to say right now. Of course, he's just 2 or 3 days removed.
Well, your basketball team has a big game tonight. North Carolina.
In an hour and 15 minutes, to be exact.
I see you looking at the clock, and I'm glad you could spend some time with us. But Virginia, Javier Lopez talking it up in the clubhouse about Virginia. You got a big game tonight.
Yeah, well, they've obviously gotten extremely hot in Virginia, and the Tar Heels have had their ups and downs, but last year we didn't beat them in two regular season games. We beat them in the ACC tournament, so that's probably the more important game. But we'll take tonight, and hopefully it'll go well.
Well, Roy Williams should have called timeout. You see, he should have called timeout. You got to slow these guys down a little bit.
Well, I think he said the same thing. I think he at some level thought he would have a chance to get a good shot out, and they obviously they didn't.
Yeah. So. Well, it brings us a quick segue before we let you go here to get you your TV for the North Carolina-Virginia game. The new rule, the 30-second rule of the pitching coach getting out doing whatever he's got to do and getting back at least off of the mound within 30 seconds. What do you think about that?
No, it still gives all of us time to go get a cup of coffee in the dining room. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll be, you know, I think in Boach's case, Boach is usually going out to make a pitching change. He's not so much going out to talk to him. I think Rags is probably one of the more succinct guys as he's gone out there in the past. So I don't know that it'll affect us as much as it will shorten the amount of time that our opposing guys are out there, and that'll be a good thing.
There may be age discrimination. What if you have a 65-year-old pitching coach who just can't get out there that fast? What are you going to do?
No, those guys are there's some pretty amble guys out there. It might be a disadvantage for a few, but they'll have to start talking before they get to the mound, right?
I'm doing research on this. I'm going to have to see. Well, a pleasure to have you on. I know it's early on, and as I always say, I love to see the kids play, the veterans. I don't care what happens. You know, the injured guys, just get them back on the field and just get out of here without trouble. And let's start the season. That's the goal.
That's right. We want to get out of here healthy and everybody on the same page and off and rolling.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Cueto pitch and Samardzija and seeing Span play and Pagan and Panic back out there as well. So a lot to look forward to. But thanks for stopping by as well.
Thanks,
always.
Marty. My pleasure.
All right.
Good to see you.
Thanks. Oh, before you go, Jim Davenport. You were at the funeral yesterday for Jimmy. You want to just say something about Jimmy, what he meant to the organization?
Well, he's probably the most humble giant of all. And the way he went about his work and the way he inspired and influenced and addressed players, tried to help them get the most out of their ability. Never talking so much about all that he had accomplished in his career. And I think we had to oftentimes help players understand who Jim Davenport is because he wouldn't talk about it. But what a pleasure he was for our organization for all these years. And really, just such a father figure to all of us and a friend. And he's just going to be greatly missed. Really hasn't completely sunk in yet that when we show up at camp in a few days at the minor league side that he won't be there.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you got to say that. All right, Bobby, thanks so much, as
Thank
always.
Thank you. You got it.
All right, more coming up on KMBR 680. Goodbye, Periscope. I'm the Sports Leader.